A lot of businesses I know, unfortunately, didn't do well during COVID. For me, it had the opposite effect. Like, I blew up during COVID.
10, 15 years ago, you're like, I'm just taking photos of my lunch and posting it on Instagram. Versus now, if your Instagram is not designed and your social media accounts are not designed to do business, then you're going to be left behind.
Yeah, your business cannot survive without a social media presence. When people approach a business for the first time, oftentimes they're looking up their social media. Their social media has become their portfolio in a way. And also, it's like the face of your brand. You're missing a huge opportunity. If you're not on social media, there's going to be people who resonate with your message. You don't have to worry about whether they do or not. You just have to share the message. When you chase your passion and like what you love, all of those things will come inadvertently. People will come to you like a magnet.
Am I going to be eliminated at my job because of AI?
No. Learn how to use AI and you will not be replaced. When we learned how to use calculators, we did not stop doing math. We just did harder math.
So Layla, welcome to the All for Nothing podcast show. I appreciate you taking the time out of your day to be here. So how did you go from building a $600,000 candle business in your dorm room, studying law, to now building a marketing agency with seven lovely women on your team that is mainly focused around using artificial intelligence, using technology to help other people in their businesses? I know that we talked a lot offline, but I'm stoked to hear you share more than what you didn't share on the show here and or dive deeper into what we were discussing before we went live.
Yeah, thank you for having me. I guess, where would you like me to start? Do you want me to start like with how I started the candle business or how I had that pivot between the candle business and the marketing agency?
Yeah, I think what would be one. Yeah, how are you selling $600,000 of candles in the dorm room?
Want to know, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so let's just take it back. So I was 19 years old, and I started out at community college, and so I went to a branch campus of Ohio University in Zanesville, and so I knew that I wanted to be a lawyer, and they didn't have a law program. So I needed to move down to main campus, which was in Athens. So that year that I was 19, I remember I applied for like 30 scholarships. It was crazy. I knew I had to find a way to get down there and afford it. So I ended up getting enough scholarships to pay my entire way. And I remember I packed up my U-Haul and I moved myself down to Athens. And I was like, all right, now I'm going to study law and we're going to be a lawyer. I didn't want to get a part-time job when I was in college. So I wanted to come up with something that I could sell and be able to make money from my dorm and go to school. And so the first thing I thought was I need to make something that I like. And at the time, candles were always too expensive for me to buy. I was broke, you know, but I loved candles. Like I always spent so many like minutes just like in the candle aisle, like smelling candles. So I thought, fuck it. Like, let's just buy a candle making kit and see what happens. So I bought a candle making kit for like $20. It came with enough wax and like a wick to make like two candles or something like that. And I bought glasses from Goodwill, just like old teacups. And I poured the wax into like a glass, like baking cup or like a measuring cup. Mm-hmm. And I melted it in my microwave. It took me like 6 minutes just to pour one candle. It was ridiculous, not efficient at all. But that day, I was just hooked immediately. I loved making candles. My first candles actually turned out really good despite my supplies and doing it from my dorm room. And I realized like, okay, now let's sell them. So I marked them at $14 a piece. I sold them both that day to some family friends on Facebook. And I was like, hey, I made, you know, $28. That's enough money to go out and buy another candle making kit. It left about $8 over in profit. Eventually, I ended up buying more bulk supplies, so my cost per candle got less and less. But at first, I just kept buying those supplies. My means of selling was Twitter. So this is the part that people are always like, what the heck, Twitter? But yeah, that was the first platform that really took off for me. It was called Twitter back then. It was back before it was X. So sorry if I keep saying—
back in the olden days.
Yeah, if I keep saying Twitter, it's just because when I was on it, like it was Twitter.
I still call it Twitter too, yeah.
Yep. So I just was, my means, I had no ad budget. I was literally on social media those early days, probably 8+ hours a day, just following other people, other business owners, liking their content, interacting with them, and creating this community of people who then, when I would post my candles, would support me in return.
What year was this?
So this was, I started December 2019.
Okay.
And by the first quarter in 2020, I had made like $15,000 online.
Were you liking people? Were you engaging in building a community that was like kind of in like in home goods or like what target market were you?
So this is what's this is what was really unique about Twitter at the time. There was like an art community of like small businesses who did a lot of creative things, whether it be like jewelry, painting, like acrylic art, candles. And so I found myself I kind of made my way into that community. And so I was meeting other young small business owners, a lot of which were in their dorm room, just like I was. But what was funny is that all of the money would like circulate between us. So there were a lot of artists. I wasn't the only one making six figures off of Twitter. We all were. And every Friday or Saturday, whenever each artist would do their own drop, we would support the people in the community. And so that's why we always joked and said, like, there's just the same money going around art Twitter, just circulating between all of us. So eventually I expanded out into like Instagram, TikTok, doing wholesale, but really like the first majority of my sales came from Twitter, and I didn't use paid ads. It was genuinely just organic engagement. And it took a lot of time. Like I really think in those beginning days, I was online probably 8+ hours a day, but it was working because I was dropping. I would always do candle drops. I'll call it drops, but on like a Friday at 5 p.m. Eastern. That was the same time I did it every week. And I mean, I would make a few thousand bucks dropping candles. And then over the weekend, I would package the candles and then I would take them to my dorm, like post office on Monday. So I did that over and over and over my junior and my senior year of college. So then my senior year was when I got my manufacturing space. And how I got my manufacturing.
What year is this?
So this was, would have been 2021,
okay.
April. And this is a story that is just so crazy.
So you were you in college during COVID then?
I was in college. Yeah. So actually, so December, 2019, I started the business and everybody got kicked off of campus March, 2020. But my home life, I didn't have anywhere to go back to. And so I stayed in the dorms. It was literally just me and the international students. And eventually they got sent home too. So it was just me. So I say the majority of my money was made really because I was alone. Like I had restaurants were closed, dorm, like where you could eat, like dining halls and everything, like the gym, like all of it was closed. So like those months that I just had nobody or nothing else to do, like I was just pouring candles and I was marketing and people were getting like PUA and unemployment and other like subsidies from the government, which I believe was helping with sales too, because people were home and they had the extra money. So all of it, like a lot of businesses I know, unfortunately didn't do well during COVID. For me, it had the opposite effect. Like I blew up during COVID. But yeah, I was in college the whole time. My professors like never believed it, but like during the day I would go to class with them. And then at night I was, you know, going and running a ship of six employees and shipping candles all throughout the world. So
you're using those international students. You had them tied up in the room. You're not leaving.
Well, let me tell you how I got candles. It's funny you say that actually. So like as I was building a team, I studied communications and philosophy. I was like on a pre-law route. And so really like I had business sense, but I knew that I wanted to work with people that were actually learning about this in school. So when I built a team, I actually like went to like the photography department. I went to the marketing department. I went to the business department, the accounting department. So like every single person that I would need, I just went to the department and was like, hey, do you need credit or do you need an internship? Like, I'll pay you. Most people don't even pay you for internships. Like not only do you get credit, I'm going to give you like 20 bucks an hour. I was paying pretty good. But down in Athens, like, I don't know. I was running a creative business. I was like a young business owner. It wasn't hard for me to find people at all.
Or how long did you do the candle business for?
So I did the candle business from 2019 until January of 2023 when my retail store closed. So almost 4 years.
And during that time you had made over $500,000 during that time. You made roughly give or take $600,000 selling candles, starting in your dorm room to getting a storefront. But that ended very bad.
Yeah.
But yet there's obviously a lot of good to that. Right. But
right. I
mean, basically you couldn't make rent, right?
Yeah.
Like you went out of business.
Right? I did. And it's so funny. Like, so I've had like a couple of videos like go viral on TikTok, like people that hear this story and everybody, it's so funny from the outside looking in, people have this idea of like where my business failed. And they were like, well, if you didn't do this, it would have been okay. And to everybody, they always say like opening that retail store was the worst thing you ever did. That shot your business in the foot. And honestly, I disagree with them. I don't regret it at all because those 8 months that I had a retail candle store, I learned how to do everything from washing windows and scrubbing toilets to setting up POS systems, hosting events of birthday parties or work parties, teaching people how to make candles. And I was handling rooms of like 50 plus people coming into my store and having to manage that product development, making sure there's sales happening every week, interacting with my business neighbors, networking in the community. Like, those lessons were priceless. So even though I was like running myself more and more into debt every month, I stayed because I was really attached to the business, but also like it was growing me and preparing me in ways that I didn't even know at the time. So when I closed my store, I ended with a lot of debt, and kind of like you mentioned, it just started dwindling down. So like my first month in business, I opened up in August of 2022. And my first month was great. I actually was in the green. And then the next month, I just barely broke even. And that's when I started to get nervous. And so I actually changed my business model. At first, I was just doing retail candles. But then I was like, okay, you need to do classes or events, something where people can make their own candle. Something that's more than just retail, because I couldn't get people in the door.
Kind of like those things that you see where people drink wine and they paint. Or yes, to go to like cooking classes.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Because the plaza that I was in, there were other successful businesses and I had to take an inventory. I'm like, what are they all offering that is the same? And all of them had some sort of experience or service-based business. And so I knew that me being retail was going to kill me quickly. And so I will say, like, I don't regret it, because me changing my business model is what allowed me to stay in business that long. And me teaching people how to make candles, it was mostly kids. Like, that was the most fun that I got to have in that business. So like I said, even though I was hosting those classes with a smile on my face, people had no idea. Like, I couldn't make rent. I was crying myself to sleep at night. Wow. You know, like at any moment I can go in and there's going to be a note on the door. Actually, one day I did go in and AEP turned off my electric and I had to borrow money just to have electric turned on in order to have a party that night for kids. I wasn't going to call the mom and say, hey, I can't have your birthday party for your kid. Like, my electric got turned off. So that was like, I don't know, man, that builds character. Like, that made me strong. And like I said, like being able to be in the midst of that and still show up and like, I showed up for everybody. Like, I never failed anybody. Like, you know what I mean? And I didn't fail myself. So people on TikTok have a lot to say about it. I've always been so public about this story too, which that's one of the things, like when you tell your story, you are at the disposal of like people's opinions. But like I said, we're the only people at night that, you know, are crying ourselves to sleep, or we're thinking about this at 3 a.m. Like, you know, it's real life to us. It's not just a fucking TikTok video.
Yeah. The 3 a.m. is a real thing. I woke up yesterday at 3 a.m. and then put in like a 37 hour day, although there's apparently 24 hours in a day. But it's like those anxieties, the depressions, it's all the behind the scenes. At the end of the day, businesses fail due to lack of cash, right? Like, they just burn through cash. But in reality, it's everything else. It's all the other things that you can't measure. It's like, how do you get the AEP bill, the electric bill, number one, set up to turn on, to coordinate this, coordinating that, which ultimately leads to cash, right? But it's all those things that people don't want to share, because it's so easy to talk about the scars, right? It's so easy to talk about the adversity that you've gone through and look at all this that I've gone through, but it's really hard. And some things shouldn't be shared. I truly believe that. You don't need to also go out there and in a sense be a victim, like, oh, look what's happening to me, what I'm going through. Because I think a lot of people are obsessed with that as well.
Yeah.
But I think it's very difficult for entrepreneurs, especially online, that want to portray a specific image and have it all figured out, especially if you're selling a product or service and you want to make it look like you're perfect. It's difficult to talk about wounds, open wounds of what you're going through. Yep. And for you, one thing I love that you mentioned offline, and then you had mentioned it again as well, is just ego. Like, it's just, it is what it is. We all have one, and a controlled ego in general, right? Like, having pride and ego is, in my personal opinion, not bad. It's just a matter of knowing when that ego is getting in your own way, because most of us are getting in our own way and running somebody else's race and or getting in our own way during our own race. You had a Business Insider article get published that was huge, right? Like, everyone knows that you're making all this money. They might know a little bit of your story and losing your father when you were 15. Your mom was an alcoholic. You grew up in a very rough area. You went through basically living hell.
Yep.
And so to stop and close up the storefront, the Business Insider article, you would quote unquote look like a failure.
Yeah. And actually, so it's kind of brought me to like a funny story, you mentioning that. I want to tell you about the day that that article was published, actually, and like what was happening in real life, because the day that it went out, it like blew up. Business Insider shared it. And so it got like several thousand shares, like, and within just my immediate network too, like it was really taking off. And, you know, you read the article. So like, it talked about like how much money I was making, the sales, and just the story. All of it sounded really good. What was actually happening that day? So I had interviewed for that article probably 6 to 8 months before it came out. So when I interviewed for it, like shit was going really good. So the day that it came out, actually, I had had a fundraiser deal. So at the time, a good way for me to make money in the candle business was to partner with like local clubs and organizations to do fundraisers. So they would sell our candles, they would handle the distribution, we would handle the production. And it's nice because, you know, we would give them a percentage of the profits, and it was just a good deal for everybody. So
Girl Scout cookies.
Like Girl Scout cookies, exactly. I got burned badly. Actually, like somebody, it was a really messed up situation. They told me that they had set up a fundraiser. There was going to be like 600 kids selling. And so I was like expecting this money. Like I gave out all the forms. Like I thought the kids were selling these candles. I didn't have a contract in place because I was 20 and stupid at the time. But it turned out that the woman did have the kids sell the candles, and she pocketed the money. Yeah. So, unfortunately there was like nothing I could do. And so the day that that article came out, I was actually like going around town, making sales, going into stores, trying to get my candles to be in their store. Like I was in damage control mode because I just lost this huge, huge fundraiser deal. My rent was due at my manufacturing space. Like payroll was going to be due for 6 employees. So that day that the article came out, I didn't even have time to like really stop and celebrate because I was out busting my ass trying to replace this money that was like stolen from me. And so this is actually today is the first time that I'm telling that story, but it was just so crazy, like to read the comments and just, it's just like you said, nobody really knows what's going on like behind the scenes. And that's what was going on.
Well, props to you for figuring it out, because one thing that I'm all about is no choice, right?
Yeah.
Putting yourself in positions that you have no choice. And usually people don't put themselves in a position of no choice because the pain is not painful enough, right? Like having that job or the lifestyle that you currently have, like you're doing just enough to get by. Most people are living paycheck to paycheck, whether they own a business or not. And so if you're just doing just enough to get by and you're comfortable, right? Like it's tough to put yourself in that no choice situation of like, yo, we gotta change everything.
Yep.
It takes a lot of guts, because that's exactly what you did, right? I want you to share maybe a little bit of what it was like going from selling $600,000 of candles to like overnight, you just had to basically make a decision. I have no choice. I need to start this new business. And this was what, a year ago?
Yeah. So it was actually only 12 months ago, which is crazy. So like I stand here today with like a new second business and I have a team of 7. It's like incredible. Right. But like this time a year ago, I closed my store. It was January 22nd and rent was due February 1st. So I got a 5x10 storage unit just right down the street from my store, and I moved everything into it. And I was like, okay, what do I do now? You know, because I was used to going to the store every day. And I wasn't going to go back to making candles out of my apartment. Like to me, like everyone was like, well, why don't you do that? Like you were making great money. Like, yeah, I was making amazing money, but the quality of life of like making thousands of candles out of your apartment, your one bedroom apartment, it's not very good. Like you can't really turn your mind off from work. And also like me closing that store, there's not many things in life that have like broke my heart, but like that broke my heart. Like, you know what I mean? Like it really did. And I knew that like, I just needed time to heal. And so it was January 22nd. I put everything in a storage unit and I knew I had to figure out a way to have rent paid February 1st. And so everybody told me, Layla, you've never worked a job. Like all you've ever done is run a business. You have a degree, you have experience. Maybe you should go get a job with benefits and like a stable paycheck. And so I did. I thought about like applying to places. I did interviews. I actually had a waitressing job for 45 minutes and I walked out. Opa, if you're listening to this, the guy was so awesome. Like I just remember hearing him that day, the 45 minutes I was there, I just was watching him run his business. And it just made me think like, I'm supposed to be running my business right now, you know? So I left that day and I actually created the marketing agency because I thought like, what am I really good at? And I'm like, well, I'm good at building a following. I'm good at storytelling. I'm good at showing the ins and outs of business, like the real ins and outs, you know? And I can do product development. I'm able to do product photography, like all of those things I did for my candle business, you know? And I was like, you know, that sounds like the skills that a marketing agency would have. So I went home from quitting that job. I told myself, if you're going to walk out of this waitressing job, you have to start a business today. And that's what I did. I went home that night and I filed an LLC, and I used ChatGPT for the first time to like make packages. And 48 hours later, I signed my first client and rent was taken care of February 1st. But like you said, that phrase of no choice, I mean, my back was against the wall. It's just a beautiful moment though in my life when I look back at it, because those are the moments that taught me what I was made of. Because anybody can say like business is going so good, I've made $600,000, I've been featured on Business Insider, like flex after flex after flex. None of that matters to me or tells people about my character. But I believe that that situation told people who I am, and it taught me who I was. So it was invaluable.
Would you say you're probably more proud of leaving the waitress job, going to the Secretary of State of Ohio website, filing the LLC?
That was badass, man. And that's when I look back at that, I'm like, that was boss, you know, like, because when I say I was broke, like, I mean, I'm not even kidding. I mean, I was in $50,000 in debt when I closed that store. And like I said, I had $2,000 in bills due the next week. So I was like, how am I going to make $2,000 appear like that? And like I said, it's a miracle. But you know what I realized is that the first huddle, like the first hurdle that most people have to get over is just the belief that they can do it. And so for me, I knew that like, I'll literally get kicked out on the street before I go get a job again. So for me, starting another business, doing it smarter, taking the lessons from the candle business and making this happen in a better way, like it was no choice. That was the only choice.
Those 5x10 storage units are kind of nice these days too. So you're like, fuck it. Climate control. Worst case, you just go live in a 5x10.
It's so funny you got that, or it's so funny you said that, because that's literally why I bought that. Because I was like, it's so sad actually, but I literally told myself, like, if you at least get a storage unit, like if you have to live in it, you can, which is crazy.
Which technically you're not signing the lease. I'm not a, you were on track for this to be a lawyer. I become one.
You are not allowed to do that.
You're not allowed to do that.
Absolutely not. So like, I did not do that since we're on camera. I never had to do that, thankfully. But yeah, unfortunately, like that's literally the mindset I was in at that time. But yeah, like, am I more proud at me leaving that job than getting the article in Business Insider? Yeah. And that's the thing is like, when you ask people like what their accomplishments are and stuff, like they'll start listing off like money, like all these accolades and all this stuff. And I'm like, for me, it was when I lost everything, how I responded. Like, that's what I'm most proud of.
And how you responded is so impressive to me, because 48 hours later, you got a client on a brand new business. And I'd imagine that there was a shitload of limiting beliefs. Yeah. Of like, number one, I'm legitimately curious. How did you get that client? How did you find them? How did you close them? How did you get them to send you money? Like, share that story.
So that's amazing, right? So at the time, the only portfolio client I technically had was my first business, right? So like, I could show them what I did for Common Sense, which was a good example. So the first client I did have was somebody that I knew in the community from the local Chamber of Commerce, who really respected what I had done with my first business, and they knew my business sense and my business skills. So when I brought them like a list of my services and a portfolio,
which, really quick to interrupt, that's why you're saying that you're not mad that you transitioned, because by building those relationships that are invaluable, you would not have even gotten that client.
So funny you say that. Exactly. So like, I established myself in a community that, even though my retail store wasn't successful there, I did do a lot of networking, and all of the people that, honestly, the majority of my first clients came from those connections. And so that's why all these TikTok comments that say, oh, you girl, you weren't thinking, that was a mistake, girl. I'm like, okay, well, what about this? Because this worked out beautifully. And like, you know, so I don't dwell on the things that didn't work out. I think about how everything was lined together so perfectly, you know.
Jerry actually runs a bot farm. Did you know that? He's the one that's commenting on your post. That's his bot farm back in
I swear, it's like, but you're right though. A lot of those comments, I'm like, it's like user 6794. I'm like, okay, whatever, buddy. Like, show your face and then we can talk. Yeah. So
the comments are crazy though. When you're getting like actual comments or like emails or texts, I think they're kind of funny, because those people are not doing better than you, whether it's monetarily and or mentally.
Yeah.
And most of them are just fucking peasants.
Yeah.
Right. They're just, They're just peasants.
Well, that's, I've always told myself that too. And it's gotten to a place where, and this is really big of me, it's hard to do it sometimes, but it's like, if somebody does leave that, I will literally like send them love. I'm like, they just need love. Cause no, you're right. Like nobody who's doing better mentally or financially would leave a comment like that. And it really just means they probably need support or attention. Like they lack it. So it's
some
funny.
Of their comments are pretty good though. Some TikTok, of them, they some read TikTok you good, comments right? are pretty good. You're like, you motherfucker, that was pretty good.
And I agree. There were some things, but yeah, like it was, it's just crazy to see how it all kind of came together. And like that first client, you know, like I brought that portfolio and like what I also did was come up with like mock-up brands. And so, cause like I didn't have businesses that had hired me yet. So I created the brands. Like I did the logo design. I did the product design. I did the photography. Like I did what I would do for a client, but for a completely imaginary business, but they didn't know that. Like it looked like great work. And so, yeah, like I was able to go into that meeting. I
and
will
you weren't
say
like lying to say like, no. Hey, here's clients. It was just I was like, hey, here's straight a mock-up. Up.
They yeah. knew that I had literally closed my store like 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
And I mean, I pretty much just told them like, look, this is what I'm going to do. I will say in the beginning, my first clients, they were like, do you see yourself going back to the candle business? Cause it was kind of just like just started a random business, you know? Now I stand here today and I'm like, no, like I'm doing this. Like, this is what I really see myself building a career in. I will say candles, there was always a part of me deep down inside. And I don't know if it's because I always wanted to be a lawyer. When I did start doing candles, it just didn't feel important enough. You know what I mean? Like I was doing really good. Like I took it to the 100th degree. Like I did all of these things, but it was like, it's just candles, you know, like I always had to try to find meaning. So like with the birthday parties or like the retirement parties, like I found meaning in those, like that felt important, but that's really why I love what I do now the most. I feel like it's actually important work. So that's what closing that business led me to.
So when you say marketing agencies, there's a lot of marketing agencies out there. What makes you different than other marketing agencies? If you're like, Tyler, this is why you need to work with me right now after we get done with the show.
Yeah.
Like, what are some things? I'm curious.
Cause yeah.
I know that you've probably gone through some of my stuff and see what I'm doing. And you're like, oh, you could capitalize on this, this, and this, or here's what yep. I would consider changing.
So I love that question. So first of all, we call ourselves an AI driven marketing agency. So I built this business using AI. And really, because when I closed my store, I didn't have any startup funds really for this new business. And so I utilized free AI resources to be able to automate the business, create content, lay the foundation for the business, create bots for my clients that work as social media strategists, all of these things. So how our agency operates, at least from our origin and just our the tech that we implement with our clients, I believe really sets us apart. But also we're a Gen Z led team. So I'm 24 and I believe that because I was born and raised with like a phone in my hand pretty much, that I have a good understanding of social media trends. And when we work with clients and they come to us, they always say like, we're not seeing the engagement we want to have. And it's because their feed is just like ad graphic after ad graphic. And what we really focus on is telling the story of the business, the founder's story. Really what I notice as I do this, you know, my process comes from what I know worked with my candle business. And what I know worked with my candle business was that I was showing my face. I was telling people that I was using this to pay for law school. I was telling everybody the story of my business and they felt like they were on the journey with me and my success felt like their success. And like they were genuinely supporting my wins. And so I try to replicate that for my client and their audience because every business has a unique story like that, that they're probably not capitalizing on, like you just said. And so when I go to someone's feed and it's just like too many ads, I'm like, let's just freshen it up a bit. So I think our Gen Z perspective mixed with the tech that we're able to implement really sets us apart. But also one more thing I will say is that we call ourselves a 360 agency. And so what that means is that we're able to handle the process from start to finish. I had a business come to us. They needed to get a $2 million SBA loan for a commercial property. And we were able to use AI to help them develop the business plan and the business concept. They were able to secure that funding. And once they opened the restaurant, we were able to go in and we were able to do all of their branding, all of their menu design, all of their food photography, videography. We opened up their social media accounts. We started doing the SEO, paid advertising. We designed their site. So like you see that we're able to do everything from kind of start to finish. And I think that's what we're also trying to build is something that's like a comprehensive solution. a lot of the clients that we work with come to us and they're working with four or five different agencies. You know, they have an SEO guy, they have a videographer, they have a photographer, they have a paid ad agency, they have a social media manager. We're able to offer that to them all under one package.
And could people do this themselves? Is it like, you know, cause obviously you can go mow your own yard.
I mean, I did it myself. Like when I started this, like it was just me. I mean, yeah. My candle business, I never had a marketing agency. Mm-hmm. I was my marketing team, you know? So can a solopreneur teach themselves how to do this? Yeah. But what I've noticed is that because I always get so excited, I'm like, you can just do this. You can do this. You mm-hmm. can do this. When I tell people this, I'm like, oh, but they're not going to take what I say and actually do it. Like, yep. I will say that's the number one thing. And sometimes it disappoints me because sometimes I get hit in the face and realize that not everybody thinks about things the way that I do, you know? So for me, like if somebody gives me feedback, that's like one of the most positive things that people tell me usually is like, Layla, like I'll give you constructive criticism or feedback and you actually take it and do it. Because for me, I'm like, that's a gift being given to you, you know? So can someone take it and do it themselves? Yes, if they're going to put in the work. Because those days that I said in the early days of my candle business, I really was on social media 8 to 9 hours a day. Like building a following with no ad budget is hard work.
Do you think people can build their business online as a creator in what I like to refer to the new digital economy where essentially everything is digital? Do you think people can do that in less than an hour a day?
Yeah. So it's funny you say that. One of the courses, so my marketing agency has kind of transformed into me doing a lot of AI consulting and education too, because people see how we built our company so quickly and scaled it within the last year. And so now I'm able to teach that to other small business owners. My most popular course is a AI for business development course where we build a business concept from scratch in an hour. So we will literally come up with the concept. We will do the market research. We will develop their unique value proposition, their marketing strategy, the visual identity for their brand, their logos, all of that within an hour. So can you start a business from scratch in an hour? Yeah. And I do that with people all the time. Like that's the most common course I teach. And I do that so that people know that when you go home, is it going to take you more than an hour? Yeah. But if we're able to do that together in an hour, you can at least do it in a day if you've never, you know, used AI before. It's easier now than ever to start a business. I say that all the time.
I think it's easier than ever to start a business, but then also to have like a very profitable business.
If
I think the biggest opportunity, from 2020 to 2030, if you're not a creator in the creator economy, then I don't know what you're doing in terms of something else or other, another industry that you're successful in and maybe happy in, whatever it may be. But yeah, you have to be creating. And I think that the marketing agencies that were running paid ads, maybe building websites, logos, copywriting, business plans, not saying that there's not ones out there that are just elite and that are not going to be fine. It's just all of that is now able to be done with AI. Yeah. So I like the approach that you have of like a done for you service. Hey, we're just going to bring this all within our system, our wheelhouse. And that's what you're paying money for. Or you can pay for my coaching consulting to learn how to integrate this yourself. Because one word that you brought up that I love is solo entrepreneur, essentially.
Yeah.
You're self-employed. You're a one man, one woman show. And in reality, when you become a business owner, you're kind of running like two businesses. You're running the actual product and service, but then you're also running a team and systems and marketing. Yes. And sales. And like understanding how to navigate all that is a whole, it's a business in itself.
It is.
So when you're hiring people, video, website, copywriting, all those different things, like, again, that's a business in itself. And then better yet, I don't know this because I don't know how to code or I don't know technology that well or whatever it may be. Are they actually charging me the right price? Are they getting Yep. things done on time? So that's a whole other unique dynamic as well. I would love for you to share, if you're open to it, like what are some things that you've seen be the biggest impact of business owners and clients of yours integrating AI? Like what are a couple things you can think of? You obviously mentioned a lot already, but what have you seen to be like a common theme or maybe the biggest opportunity?
Yeah. So the first person that comes into my mind is I already kind of talked about how we created a business plan for the SBA loan. Mm-hmm. I had somebody that came to one of my courses. It was not quite $2 million, but they needed $250,000 loan. And so they came to my course just so they could learn how to use AI to write this business plan so they could go and get the loan. And About a week later, I got a message saying that their SBA agent or representative said it was the best plan they read in 2 years. So they got the funding, you know, because a week before, like prior, they taught themselves how to write a business plan. They said they did it using the structure that we give them in like less than a day. They presented it to the agent and within a week they were funded. So like, that's amazing. Kind of pivoting a little bit different.
Which is important because businesses fail due to lack of capital, lack of cash, and yes. or they just don't understand there's a potentially better way.
Yes.
Right. To use OPM, other people's money, obviously use it wisely. Then none of this is financial tax legal advice. It's always a disclaimer, but for them to get started or to scale like 99.9% of the time, you need capital.
It's pretty huge, isn't it? So like when you think about it in the terms of that, then like, yeah, like them coming to that course, like that set up their business. Like it really did. Like it got them their funding to be able to like start. And now they're actually one of our marketing clients. And so that's what's great too, is that we're helping people use AI to come up with these amazing business concepts and teaching them how to scale. And then they're becoming our clients because they remember, you know, the 24-year-old girl who taught them how to do it to begin with. So I'm really thankful to see it all come together. And I've had moms who I can only imagine what it's like to have kids and also be a business owner. So I've had a lot of moms use AI to be able to automate their business. And like, they've told me like, now when I go home at night, I'm not, you know, doing the marketing or the social media for my business or sending the customer service emails, et cetera. Like I get to just be a mom, you know? So like it's buying back people's time. Yeah. And I think that's the most valuable thing, right? Because it's the most precious thing we have. So I've heard so many stories. I mean, I can think of 15 or 20 messages just off the top of my head that I've gotten in the past month from the presentations I've done, people saying they're using DALL-E 3 or Midjourney to create images for their business. They don't have to hire a product photographer anymore because they've learned how to use AI image generation tools for their product photography. It's just teaching business owners tangible skills. And I like what you said earlier, because people always ask me, Layla, if you give out this information and you make it so accessible, because a lot of times, which, okay, now I'm going to have a lot of people asking, can you do it for free? Can you do it for free? But I do. Sometimes I do. Like these presentations, especially if it's like organizations of small business owners, they can't afford to pay me to do a presentation. I go in there and do it for free because I love it. It's my passion. And I see the value in it. And people always ask like, Layla, like you're hurting your business. You're giving it away for free. I'm not, because those people remember. And I've had people that have went to my courses 6 months ago that their business has grown significantly since. And now they're our retainer clients. And so I don't do it with the intention of hoping to flip them as a client, but it's that when you provide so much value for so little, people wonder what they get if they actually work with you.
Well, this is also relatively new, right? So getting people to buy something from you online, like they have to consume a lot, right? They have to, if they want consulting or something from me that I offer, like they're going to have to probably watch 4, 5, 6, 7 episodes, right? Yep. There's these certain rules that people put out there that say they have to consume X amount of hours, X amount of touch points. But in reality, it's all about, in my opinion, you should be a creator to create conversations and then convert those conversations. But essentially what you're saying is, why would I not give them all of this for free to expedite the path of getting them from not knowing what this is and who I am in an hour, 2 hours, 10 hours in a course that's digital or in person or a mix of both? Mm-hmm. Why would I not help them and pull them along that journey? So if I do convert them, wonderful. We got to the point quicker. Right? If there's a room of 10 people or virtually 200 people, you're like, oh no, this is the whole point, is I want to get them up to speed and I want to educate them on this to see where they can get solutions to the pain points in their business. And at the end, they'll buy or they won't.
Yep.
It's basically doing like a mass sales call.
That's what it is. And it's funny because it's, like I said, I'm like the least salesy person possible, but there's something up, like people ask like, how do you sell? Like
that's what all business owners say, by the way.
That's true. I know that's true. But it's like, I know that in practice, like I'm actually that way, because it's like, you know, I'm not like a sales call person. I'm not like a cold email or DM type person. I'm a teacher, you know, like I'm a storyteller, and especially something like AI, you know, my story. So here's the thing. This is kind of funny. We work with like software developers and things like that. And like automation companies to kind of help us with services that we can do for our clients. And I've had all these like big tech bros, people who have been in IT and worked for the biggest companies, you know, they ask me, they're like, how are you getting these speaking engagements in AI? Like you, what I've been doing for 30 years, you taught yourself 12 months ago, and you're getting invited into these rooms that like, I have not had those opportunities. Like, what are you doing? And I'm like, well, I'm bringing it down to a level where they can understand. Because for me, I was a solopreneur who needed to learn how to use AI to scale my business. I had no choice, right? I wasn't a tech girl. I didn't know how to code. And so my AI education and my consulting brings it down to a level where, regardless of their background, they're able to understand. And so, you know, those tech guys, last week, somebody called me a threat. Something about that just tickled me on the inside. I was like, that is awesome. Like, I love that because that means I'm doing something right. You know, people don't understand what I'm doing. And I told myself a year ago when I closed my store, I pray sometimes or whatever, like talk to the universe. And what I literally said was, put me on the path that I will feel like I'm doing something that's important, because I didn't feel like candles were very important. And so I also knew that all the plans that I had made, you ever heard the saying, it's like you make plans and God laughs. And after I closed that store, I was like, I'm fucking done making plans. I want the path to be shown to me. And it's just kind of funny how it all unraveled. And like AI, like I was supposed to teach about it. Like I'm supposed to do this at this moment right now. Will it be needed 2 years from now? No, everybody will probably know how to use it by then. But for now, it's the most important thing I can do.
Yeah, it's honestly trying to get people to understand in terms of AI and how it can be integrated in their business and in their day-to-day life. If they're a parent and they have kids and they're trying to maybe organize their day, or again, in business in particular, it's getting them to understand, like when Facebook first came out, of how, hey, you need to be creating content on Facebook so you can mm-hmm. sell more houses if you're a realtor, mm-hmm. right? Or when Instagram came out or YouTube came out, like you need to be making content, have a podcast show, do clips, share all these things that 10, 15 years ago, you're like, do what? I'm just taking photos of my lunch and posting it on Instagram. Yeah. Versus now it's, if your Instagram is not designed and your social media accounts are not designed to do business, then you're going to be left behind.
Yeah, your business cannot survive without a social media presence. And so I will say, I work with a lot of older business owners who have been in business. They're probably two or three times my age, right? And they're coming to us. And I've heard this so, so often. They say, our biggest regret is that we didn't get on social media earlier, because they were so hesitant to it. They just thought, you know, it's word of mouth. We already have our clientele. We're good. You know, like they have big houses, fancy cars, like they don't need to do this. Right. But now they're seeing that their competitors did it. And when people go to approach a business for the first time, oftentimes they're looking up their social media. Their social media has become their like portfolio in a way. It's their resume. Exactly. And so, and also it's like the face of your brand, you know, and it's just important. Like it's an opportunity for you to share the inside and like the story of your company. Like you're missing a huge opportunity if you're not on social media. And so the majority of our clients are those types of people who were really hesitant, but now they see that like by doing this, their business isn't just going to die with them. They're actually setting up something that could outlive them, which I believe that's what social media and the digital economy, like what you're saying, that's the purpose. It's creating something outside of ourselves that can sustain way longer than we can.
And I think that's what is so fascinating that you brought up, you know, God, the universe, you know, show me the path. And then it was like AI. And in a sense, it's like,
I'm like, what the fuck? I'm like, that was not what I was expecting at all.
You're like, God, Lord Jesus.
Like from candles to AI, right? It mind fucks me, honestly, but yeah.
But in a sense, AI is acting as God in a way, right? Where it allows.
I say that all the time. I'm glad you're.
it's like cool and terrifying at the same time, where like people now can be immortal through social media. Now, sure, if the grid goes out and they cut the data centers and they do this, and this, it comes back to like, oh, we probably should have written some of this on an ancient tablet that we found, like the Rosetta Stone, to be like, oh, this is the shit that was going on during this time, right?
Right.
So I think that's a fascinating, that's another conversation for another day. But in a way, it's allowing people to become immortal, people that have established businesses that have been around, that have generational wealth money, whether it's like in real estate, whether it's a law firm, whether it's, you name any of the above of companies that are likely never going to go anywhere.
Right.
Those companies could make their life likely better, probably scale their company even more by having more of a digital presence. Mm-hmm. Or what I'm curious about as well, and again, be immortal. mm-hmm. as well, right? Like build like an immortal presence. And what I'm curious about, what I think is going to be a big opportunity, already is, but I think that people are going to be very interested in building faceless businesses.
Yeah.
I think people are going to shift. I think it's already happening where they want to be more offline, but producing more and creating more. Mm-hmm. That's less of their face. Mm-hmm. Building businesses, that's not necessarily their face. So how can you do that if building a personal brand and sharing like your story and those things, like how does somebody integrate your marketing agency, whether it's getting coaching, consulting, or, you know, being like a retainer client where you do a lot of it for them with your team? What would you say to those that are interested in that space of building faceless?
So that's a good point. Do I think we're there yet to where people would trust a business that's like that? Not yet. But I think as tech continues to move forward, like whether we realize it or not, inadvertently, we are becoming more and more open to everything every day. You know, like the first time we saw somebody walking around with one of those like Apple Pro Vision things on, we're like, what the fuck? But eventually that's just going to be like normal, right? So that's kind of how I feel about faceless businesses. That's the best analogy I can say.
By the way,
that's true. But it's just,
are you scared of those, by the way?
You know, I think it's important when you're outside to like look at the sun and the trees and like hear the birds chirping. Like, so as somebody who's like really digitally integrated,
you can just have it on your screen. You're like, I hear the birds chirping. It's February in Ohio.
To stay. Like, cause you're right. There's going to be so much cool shit coming out over these next few years. Like what AI is right now, it's in its very, very baby stages. And I mean, even OpenAI, which is who hosts ChatGPT, they say they have their next 10 years of products and updates and everything already planned, but they don't share that because they were like, essentially, I'm paraphrasing, but if they were to tell people what they were working on, people's minds literally couldn't handle it. So that's kind of how I feel about
faceless. And it could be done in 10 months instead of 10 years.
Exactly. And so I think people have to work up to that, right? And that's how I feel about faceless businesses. But let me tell you what we do for our clients, because we do work with a lot of people who they need to be the face of their business, but they don't have the time to sit in front of a camera every day. And so what we do, especially for our monthly clients, is we're able to record a whole month's, if not more, worth of content in 2 hours or less. And so through batching content, we've been able to lessen the amount of time they have to spend, you know, facing their business, but we're still able to put the content out there and grow that community to where it still has the feel that they are, you know? That's the best solution I have right now. I will say people experiment a lot with like the AI avatars and the AI brand design. So like you can create, especially with platforms like Midjourney, these images that they come up with are so realistic. You cannot tell the difference between a person created on Midjourney and like a photograph of an actual person. So I do think that eventually through AI, we will be able to create, there always will have to be a human element to it. Humans just trust humans. But I think you will be able to use AI to portray that.
And for example, like one thing that's way more popular out there, and maybe I'm showing my age, I'm 29, you're 24. That's a big gap these days. I remember running around without a phone. So those okay. that do not, but the like the faceless YouTube channels, right? Like those motivational YouTube channels that could be making literally thousands
They're
of dollars
good
a
money,
month.
Right? Or like those rain sounds that you play at night, like those guys yeah. are making bank.
It could just be a channel yeah. of just a bunch of clips from podcasts and it's all faceless and they're getting paid through ad rev
yep.
and other opportunities, whatever it may be. And so just that alone, or like you said, Midjourney, one of the AI resources out there that can generate an image for you, you could create social media accounts and then you could have ChatGPT create entertaining, informative and fun mm-hmm. content around those images. And then that can capture you sales calls, that can capture yeah. you people that are paying you money for a product or a service.
Exactly.
Whatever it may be.
It can all be automated, right? So like you just said, you can come up with the initial concept for the strategy for like your marketing ideas and your content ideas. You can have it write your video scripts. You can have it write the captions. You can have it, you know, come up with the hashtags. You can have it make sure it's SEO optimized. Then you can use graphic design tools or image generators like Midjourney to create the visual content. And then you take what you made and you schedule it and you automate it. So you can really just keep taking it one step further to where like, you know, I'm sitting here today and I know that all of my accounts and all of my clients' accounts, they're posting, like they're going.
People think that you should manually post because you get immediate insight as to whether or not that's performing or not.
Yeah. So let me tell you what we do, because that's really true, right? So if you were to just take on a client and then only automate their content and then never do any organic engagement, then you would tank their account. That's like a recipe to kill their account, right? So what we do is we do automate the content. However, we spend at least 30 minutes a day on each of our clients' accounts doing organic engagement. So following other accounts, responding to their comments, responding to their messages, so that Instagram or Facebook or whatever platform it is knows that we are active, but the content is still, you know, being automated. So I've noticed through doing that, we see no like lessening of engagement or anything. But if you didn't do that, it would be killing your engagement.
But then I would also imagine as well, and if you're not doing this, I would personally find this to be helpful.
Yeah.
Is like if we put something out and it does like decently well, which to be quite honest with you, we haven't really like broke through in terms of just strictly like our All for Nothing podcast
this
accounts.
This one will.
This one will right here. Here it is. I got like 9,000 ideas. But it's this last year, I can't be online. Like I just have other things I'm doing and I need my time and energy and focus elsewhere, which guess what? Every other entrepreneur says the same thing.
Yeah.
But yet it's the most powerful place to be on. But the point I'm getting at with this is similar. I mean, not even similar, identical to how you built your candle business was where I think a lot of people are dropping the ball. And it's like rule number one is you just go engage with other accounts and other people, whether it's following them, whether it's when they follow you, you send them a DM. It's just creating conversation.
Yeah.
Like that's what content is all about. That's what a creator is all about, is all we're trying to do is create conversations and then convert that conversation into currency.
Yep.
Whatever that currency is, if that currency is a relationship, a friend, a significant other, if it's, you know, obviously fiat currency or digital currency, like actual money, that's really what it's about. But back to the point of quote unquote breaking through and getting like viral clips or growing a channel or growing client accounts to ultimately capture more currency, that engagement is what you're saying is super crucial.
Oh, it's so important. And especially like we really want to utilize like the most trending types of content right now. So for that would be TikTok, that would be Reels on Facebook and Instagram, and even YouTube Shorts are like blowing up right now. As you know, you have a podcast. Podcasts are trending forms of content right now. So we have a lot of clients who are like, can we start a podcast? And I'm like, sure, but are you going to keep up with it? Because you know, it's a lot of work, right? But what's nice about these podcasts is
you can trim
them into little clips. Oh yeah, go ahead.
Sorry, I'm not going to cut you off.
No, you're totally fine.
Although I just did. I know what I was going to say. Fuck. It was, you're letting them know in real time, your team is letting them know like, yo, this clip is doing very well today or this week. I think that's valuable if you're not doing that, because then they can go in and make an organic video right on the spot.
Yes.
Or they can start going, oh, people want to know about AI.
Yeah.
So then what I would do personally is like, oh, well, I'm going to go get maybe one other person that knows AI around copywriting.
Yeah.
Or they know AI around doing outreach on DMs or sending emails. So sorry to cut you off. That's exactly
I get it. You're like me. You have to get the idea. If you don't, then you would have just forgot it completely. No, it's so important though. Like you're right. Like you have to, the organic engagement is really important. And a lot of our clients, I mean, they're really busy CEOs and they just want like the one page or one paragraph summary of it. You know what I mean? So like, yeah, we're always in contact with our clients, letting them know that, hey, like this one took off this week. Like this video got like 13,000 views. We're going to hone in on this type of content. So they trust us to fine tune the strategy based on what we're seeing from their socials. But you're right. Like they don't have to do that during the day. We work with a lot of people like you who are like, they're just, I don't want to say burnt out, but when it comes to like showing their face online, like they're a little burnt out, at least on that part of it. And so we're still able to have them show up for their community, but do it in a more like manageable way of their time to where they don't have to be burnt out.
Yeah. You said it right. Like business and life for most people is time, money, and both. So if you're able to help in one of those areas, two of those areas, ideally in three of those areas, what you're doing for business owners is you are helping them ideally make more money and get more time by reducing friction of creating, right? For systemizing things, optimizing things. So for you, what do you think is the big opportunity in AI, in business? Like, what do you see the next couple of years as far as like, because, and I'll preface this by saying, I said a couple of years ago, I'm going to take credit for this and sound really cool. I was like, people have to have a podcast.
Yeah.
Because we are our own media companies and we are seeing that every single day. It's like you create a podcast. So then now you can be on every channel. You can do long form. I can leverage your people and your audience and you can leverage mine. Then we can go get brands. We can get ad rev. We can, you know, sell products and services. We can create relationships. We can create conversations. But also, in my opinion, it's the most simple, scalable, profitable business model right now and for years to come is building a podcast. Mm-hmm. Because then you can take that long form, repurpose it into short form. You can repurpose that into newsletters, blogs. You can build real in-person relationships. Mm-hmm. I think the benefits just go on and on and on. I'm biased because I'm a podcast host. Why would people not do it? It's way more fucking work than you would realize. Millions of shows are on the way and millions are more out the door. That said, it's not to be pessimistic. I want everyone to win. And I think that people are silly if they're not. And why wouldn't they? Let's face it. I think most people are also insecure to get on a show and say silly things, get nervous, you know, start blushing, start sweating, say all this crazy stuff and then drive home and be like, why the fuck did I not ask him this?
Right.
Why did I not say it perfect here? Or I was wrong then. And I did 100 shows and now I got to go back and explain myself. So it's this whole mind game. It's a massive personal development project.
It is.
But again, I preface all this because I think that if you don't have a podcast and you don't view yourself as a media company, then you will get absolutely left behind. Let's look at Tucker Carlson. He just interviewed Vladimir Putin. Mm. He left Fox News. He got fired. And now he has more views than all the fucking news outlets combined.
Mm-hmm.
That's crazy.
I think it goes down to, and it doesn't matter what your political affiliation is, it's his marketing, right? And he's probably doing what Fox never allowed him to do. And now it's working. So I think that, people respect it, people that already liked him. So I think that going forward, because people always ask me, like, that's like the most common question I get. They're like, what's coming? And I'm like, you know, I wish I had like, insider
shake
scoop.
The crystal ball.
Well, that's what I'm thinking. I'm like, I wish I knew, right? But all I do know is that what I feel, the overwhelming feeling of just optimism for the future is what I feel. And obviously we have to teach responsible AI use, ethical AI use, right? Like that's, you have to be able to answer the hard questions. You have to be able to train people on how to use this responsibly. But when we do that, then I think our potential as a society, I can't even explain what is about to happen in our lifetime. Like, and that's why I feel like just, I don't know. You know, I saw a quote the other day. It was like, you know, you're doing the right thing when you wake up every day and you're just in a constant state of just gratitude and just asking like, how can it be this good? And that's genuinely how I feel about what I'm doing right now. Like, I feel like we're on such an important trajectory in the tech space right now and what's going to be coming out. And it's not only going to benefit large corporations anymore, it's going to trickle down to people like me who is able to build this agency using it. And so that is what makes me feel so optimistic and hopeful, is knowing there's a lot of other people out there like me who are going to be able to get their start if they learn how to use this technology.
And I think AI can help just everyday people do shit that they don't want to do anymore.
Very true.
That's really like the life that we're all living is, so how do we do less shit that we don't want to do?
I've noticed something, right? Because like I've sold candles, I've sold like websites, like I've sold like—
Except your soul. You haven't sold that, right?
No, absolutely right. Not. That's the one thing. It's priceless, right? But like—
That's 2030 by AI.
I just think it's like, it's just, I've realized it comes down to marketing. Like— Every single business comes down to your ability to market, to do sales, and to communicate. It doesn't matter what industry, it doesn't matter what you're selling. And so for me, like that's how I was able to transform over from like a candle maker into what I'm doing now, because the root of it was all the same. And like, that's what I've noticed too, is like to equip people with how to use AI, it's teaching them how to market. It's teaching them how to do sales, which if they teach themselves how to do that, then they can do anything. They can sell anything. I mean, it's makes you feel unstoppable. I think that's what it is.
I think there is a fine line though, right? Of like not allowing it to take away the authentic self of you and like who you are. So I totally agree with you, but I also think that if you would read a paragraph of, you know, sharing maybe hobbies and interests and a little bit about yourself, that maybe you sharing exactly what you wanted to say, maybe with some curse words, maybe with some vulgarness to it, or maybe not, right? Like it just, trying to also do your best of not using that exact paragraph for your newsletter or using that exact paragraph for introducing yourself on a podcast show or speaking on stage, right?
It's you don't want to sound like scripted. You're like, yeah, that's like the worst thing, right? And people can like sense or like sniff that out from like a mile away.
What's the best way for people and businesses to share their story? Because I find myself stuck sometimes when I'm communicating of sharing who I am, what I enjoy to do, that typical elevator pitch, right? Mm-hmm. But I believe it's extremely crucial that in order to do the things that you want to do and articulate why it's important and when and how people should work with you, you have to know who you are.
Mm-hmm. And very true. You answered the question. People will only know you or meet you as much as you've like met yourself, right? So like the self-awareness, people who have gotten their ass beat by life don't worry about giving 30-second elevator pitches. That's like the least of their worries, right? Like they can go up and talk to anybody about who they are, what they do. Like that's easy. People connect with people that they resonate with and relate to. And so that's why I always go back to saying that like my failures in business have gotten me further and gotten me into rooms that I would not have gotten in, because the CEOs remember when they were in their 20s and they hit the ground hard, just like I did, you know? So like, I'll be honest with you. I don't spend a lot of time asking myself that question. What I spend time on is developing myself, knowing myself, and trusting that I will always go in and say the right thing. And I will always represent myself the right way. Like coming onto this podcast today, I didn't prepare anything, but I looked myself in the mirror this morning and I said, you're going to go in there and you're going to tell your story and you'll know what to say and you'll do it right. You know, and like taking that pressure off of yourself to perform or put on this act or whatever it is, it just removes that mask and all you're left with is yourself. And people really respect that when you go in with no mask.
And that's why I love long form. This is why exactly for me, I had to create the podcast, because it's like, I can't share what goes on through this crazy space in between my ears and the experiences that I've gone through in 29 years. And I'm not sharing that to act any type of way other than I've gone through more than what most have at 29. Yeah. Right. And I know for a fact, getting to know you more, that's been the case for you. So like, I have a lot to share, and I know there's a lot of people in my circle that I continue to meet. They have a lot to share. And it's just not going to get done in a perfect 30-second clip, mm-mm, right? At least for what I personally am trying to do. Sure, if some stuff goes viral in a 30-second clip, great. But in reality, people can watch 3 hours. They can listen to an hour. It might take them a couple of days, couple of weeks, months, years, whatever. But if it's entertaining, informative, and fun, people will consume it. Because I tell you what, that Griselda Blanco, whatever documentary on Netflix, shit, I consumed that whole season on Netflix. No problem.
Yep.
No problem. I stayed up all night.
There's something in it that like struck a chord, right? Like I get it. There has to be something. And so like your question was how can I tell my story? It's like, well, you just do it, right? And I think somebody that I know, she's like a personal development coach. She gave a speech last week. I was at one of her events and she said the most devastating words we say in the human language is, what would they think? It's so devastating to us because it's like immediately giving up our power. And also somebody very wise told me, she was actually the next door neighbor at my candle store. She has a pharmacy business. She's an incredible businesswoman. And she told me, Layla, not everybody will see you and get you. Not everybody will. Not everybody will be your clients, but that's okay, because you never lose anybody who is going to get you or who is going to be your client. You lose the people who were never in your audience to begin with. They were never going to be in your circle, you know? So, and it's kind of the same with you. There's going to be people who resonate with your message. You don't have to worry about whether they do or not. You just have to share the message, you know? That's the hardest mental thing to come over though, is because it's like, I want to share things that people will find funny, interesting, entertaining, but it's like the key, the hack that I've learned to life is that when you chase your passion and like what you love and like all of those things, if you wake up every day and do the number one thing on your list that you want to do, all of those things will come inadvertently. People will come to you like a magnet. There's something amazing about watching somebody like live unapologetically. You know what I mean? Mm. Like on their own agenda. So like, it's just kind of funny. Like it goes back to knowing yourself, right? That's the answer to almost anything.
What would you like to share with your 7, maybe by the time this goes live, it might be double that, the pace that you're going, which I love. What would you like to share with your team of women entrepreneurs? What would you like to share with them that they may not know about you?
I am learning a lot, you know? I think that's, so, you know, what's funny actually is that I'm the youngest one on the team. I'm the founder and I'm the youngest. And so they may not know this, but every day I am trying to build myself in a way to really feel good enough to lead them and to have this vision for the company. And I noticed very quickly when you work on your, by yourself, you don't notice your flaws as much as if when you work with other people, right? Because they are mirrors to you. I have 7 mirrors right now. And so I'm learning through each one of them what I need to do to be a better leader or to be a CEO, be who I want to be. So they don't realize how much I'm getting from them. Also, in the early days of the company, I had people on the team. Jesse, shout out to you, by the way, my right-hand girl. She worked for free for a long time because we were working to get clients. I didn't really have anybody to, you know, give her yet that we had signed on, but she saw my vision and the belief in the company and she held that vision too with me. And they will never know how much that pushed me and how much that meant to me and how much motivation that gave to me to build this, because 40 years from now, when I see us in our Skyrise office in downtown Columbus, I see those same women next to me. Like, I see us raising our families alongside each other. I see us experiencing life, like all of these things that are way bigger than a marketing agency, like they have given me. So every day I tell myself, I'm not going to be the reason why this business fails. I'm not going to sabotage this. Like, I develop myself. I do whatever I need to do in order to make sure that it works, you know? And they pushed me to do that. I don't think I would have that motivation or drive if I was working by myself, you know, if I didn't have those mirrors.
Boom. Ladies and gentlemen, she's busy. She has client meetings to go to, and we're going to have to do this again because we had like a whole other show offline. So we're going to have to do like 3 or 4 or 5 of these, but you've shared a lot of good stuff, things that people can just think about, resonate with. And no matter what business, whether people want to start one, or whether they're in business now or have multiple businesses, team members. And also one thing I want to say too, when it comes to AI, if people are like in video production or they're doing content creation and they're quote unquote an employee, I think one huge mistake that people make is they approach it in a sense of like, am I going to be eliminated at my job because of AI? It's
you need to learn how to use it, right? Because at the end of the day, there will always be people who will hire somebody else because they don't want to do it themselves. And there will even be people who don't want to learn how to use AI, right? They know that their company needs it and they know that they need all of these things. So be the creator or the creative that uses AI as a tool in your tool belt. I meet a lot of artists who are really against, you know, image generation. I meet a lot of photographers who are really against using it for like product photography. But the reality of it is eventually we're not going to need to leave our house to create these things for our clients. I have realtors right now that use us to stage homes. They don't even have to lift a finger to stage a home anymore. We can take the photography from the real estate. So it did take a photographer to go out and do that. But then we take it and we stage the image from our house. Like, I can do that in my pajamas in bed, you know? So really, don't you want to be in your pajamas in bed doing work? So that's what I would tell them. So learn how to use AI and you will not be replaced. When we learned how to use calculators, we did not stop doing math. We just did harder math. You know what I mean? So that's what AI is going to be. That's the easiest way I can break it down, is the effect that AI will have on us.
And how do people get a hold of you if they want to connect and learn more, maybe come to one of your courses or meet up with you here in Columbus or wherever you're going? Because it sounds like you got a lot going on, traveling around and whatnot. How do people connect with you?
Yeah. So my Instagram is Creative Gold Agency. So spelled just like it says, Creative Gold Agency. My personal is Layla E. Renner. I'm sure there will be tags. You always tag people, but yeah, they are welcome to follow our agency page. I always talk about the courses we're offering. We are working on like a whole new product suite. So eventually everything that I've been teaching in person will be able to be accessible to anybody across the world. So that's what we're working on right now, is putting all of those presentations and courses into a digital offering for people. So we do have a newsletter they can subscribe to where we talk about the latest things in AI, a lot of resources on the business page. But if you just like me as a person, which I connect with a lot of people, I have people from the candle business that follow me on my personal, I would love if they did that too. They'll find I'm a real down to earth gal. So if you comment, I'll respond.
Boom. Later, ladies and gentlemen, we will see you guys in the next show. Maybe with an AI bot. Never know.
Yeah.